Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to hear you guys singing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we are thankful for this day, the first day of 2024. Wow. You brought us here. You carried us here safely. And you will carry us right through 2024 safely. Father, we celebrate your goodness in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, O God, that favor is bestowed upon us. We belong to you. You are our Abba Father, our Heavenly Father. Hallowed always be your name. May every day we live hallow your name. Hallow your name because, Lord, we see the manifested beauty of your glory, the manifestation of your word in our lives. For your word is creating new realities for us. Thank you, Father. Your grace is sufficient. Thank you for your word to us tonight. And throughout this week, blessed be your holy name, Most High God, forever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I am thankful for every day God has given us to live His life. We're talking about remembrance. The word of the Lord to us is, remember me. Now, that word remember is an interesting word. It is not just a function of memory. You've heard me say this many a time. It is about putting back together. When things are not put back together, you don't remember. And we remember not just based on what we see, but what we hear. What we feel. That's why sometimes a smell will trigger a memory. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, you smell something and you just remember something. You remember. Because memory is based on all the five senses. The Hebrew word found in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1, referring to remembrance, is the word zakar. Zakar. And zakar means to recall. Now, I want you to think about the word recall. That in the word recall, is the word re. Okay? You together? Re. Now, when you have re preceding, it tells you that there is a repetition. And it tells you re also is also connected to referencing something. Okay? Are you with me? So it's referencing something, but also it is about repeating something. So to recall means to repeat a call that has been stated. So let's say I dialed the phone and I called your place and I did not get you and I dial you again, I recalled. Yes? Now, connected to that word, zakah, is the word remind. Remind. So, in essence, when God talks about reminding, it's about restoring the mind. Restoring to you the mind of Christ. Are we together so far? So, the Bible tells us about us being members. We are individually members of the body. So when God remembers, He puts us together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a putting together. It is in essence then, it has to do with restoration. It has to do with replenishing. It has to do with renewal. The word remember. Are we together so far? In Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, "And God remembered Noah." Remembrance in this sense is refreshing, recalling, reminding. All of those things are at play with this word. It's not like God forgot, because God doesn't forget, except forgetting our sins and removing them from the east, as far as the east is from the west. And the only thing that causes God to remember our sins is when we don't forgive. And all of a sudden, all of those things come back together. Do you remember the story of the man that was owing the king all these thousands, let's say $1 million. And he came begging and said, I'm not able to pay you yet. Will you just give me some time? And the king says, "Nah, forget it. I'm looking at you. You can't pay this thing. Go, just go. It's forgiven." And the guy went out, sees somebody that owed him $10, and says, "I want my $10. Every time I come looking for you, you are hiding. You're going everywhere. I don't see you. You've been owing me for the longest time. You got to pay me today." And holds the guy. And the guy says, "I can't pay you." So he throws him in jail. And somebody goes and tells the king. "See, that guy you forgave the million, he just threw somebody else in jail for owing him." The king says, "Say what?" "Yeah, that's what happened." I can't believe that. No, he won't do that." "Yes, he did." So he calls the guy, and the guy comes and asks the guy, says, "What am I hearing?" "Oh," I said, "forget about that foolish guy. You know, that guy, he's been owing me all these years, and he won't pay. So I forced him. He's got to pay me back." And king says, "Did I just forgive you $1 million? "Yeah, you're such a wonderful king. I thank you so very much. I don't know how to thank you for forgiving me all that debt." The king says, "So you couldn't forgive your brother that owes you that menial amount?" "Well, you know, tell you what, everything that you owed me that I said I forgave you for, you have to pay it back. And meanwhile, you're going to be left with the tormentors until you pay every dime." How many of you know that guy was not going to be able to pay? He's in jail. Where is he going to get the money from? He's going to be tormented for the rest of his life. Well, his sins were remembered, were put back together. Now, that's not what we want. And the first place we need to start from, and I shared that at the end last night, is to practice forgiveness. If you're going to be positioned for miracles, you've got to forgive. Amen? Anyhow, let's get back to the text. It says, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. This was the ark that he'd built, and the animals had been put inside that ark while the world was getting destroyed. The ark floated. He says, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. In other words, they abated so that they had land. They had a good footing. They could have a new beginning. And when God did that, the Bible says, the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from all the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated, and the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. On the first day of the month, where the tops of the mountains seen. In other words, God is blowing this wind, and progressively things were changing. Things did not change automatically, but they were changing. Someone said they were changing. Well, things are going to be changing for us because God has remembered us. Change began when God remembered. Hello? When God remembered Noah, things began to change. Someone say, Lord, remember me. I see things changing for me right now. Hallelujah. Things began to change until they began to see the top of the mountains, the Bible says, and things continued. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. At the end of 40 days, 40 days represents, biblically, numerically, represents a time of trial. So after the time of trial, he opened the window. Somebody say, he opened the window. Now that's a remarkable statement, that the windows were open. All the way back to Malachi, God talks about the opening of the window. And the opening of the window had to do with people honoring God with their tithe and their offerings. And you say, Pastor, but there's no tithe and offerings here. Wait, just wait. Because the first action of Noah that triggered the blessing of God and caused God to restate, to repeat, to remember what he said to the first Adam happened at the time of offering to God what he had. So the Bible tells us he opened the window and which he had made, and he sent out first a raven. The raven is an unclean bird. He says, which went forth to and fro until the waters dried up from off the earth. It kept on flying. It didn't come back. It just kept on flying until it found a place to land. Also, he sent forth the dove from him, which went from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of his feet. And she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was what? an olive leaf plucked off. That's why when you see the picture of the Holy Spirit or the picture of peace, you see the dove. Amen? With the olive leaf, signifying that things are changing and things are ready. Now, watch this. There's waters all over the earth. Yes? The mountains were exposed. That's a good place to land. But the dove did not land on the mountains. The dove did not land anywhere until it found the olive. That olive plant was under water. But the anointing and that which God uses to produce the anointing, no matter what happens to it, still stays intact. I don't know if you heard that. That which God has anointed and is going to use to anoint always stays intact, no matter what is happening. The olive plant was still identified. Of all the plants, it looked for the olive. The olive plant is a plant, if I took you to Israel today, we'll be able to touch, possibly, an olive plant that has been there for thousands of years. Are you with me? It goes through all the crises, but it keeps on staying. God is going to give to every one of us staying power. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't know if you're hearing. I said God will give to us staying power. Praise the Lord. No matter what happens, this plant is going to stay. It is the planting of the Lord. The Lord is a God who anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. Praise the Lord. He says, so Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days and sent for the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. So the third time, that dove didn't come back. It just stayed out there. Now it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month. Oh, praise God. In the 601st year, in the first month, in the first day of the month. Praise God. The waters were dried up from off the earth. Let this be our 601st year, first month, first day of the month. This is January the 1st. It's the first month and the first day. Let the waters be abated. What waters? The waters of judgment. Hallelujah. Let the waters of judgment abate. And Noah removed the covering off the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. That reminds me of the people of Israel crossing the Red Sea. The land was dry for them, and they crossed over to the other side. God grant us the grace to cross over. Judgment is not for us, but judgment is for Pharaoh and his host. Somebody shout hallelujah. You know, it's amazing to me. You know, I was thinking this afternoon, reflecting on the messages of God, because, listen, I'm not that smart to figure out what message I should preach. God is that smart to know what he wants to talk about. All I need to do is follow through with him. This is what he wants to talk about, then that's what I'm going to be talking about. Amen? Not my own words, his words. And I was just listening and in my mind to all the messages God had given to us leading into this new year, the last month or so, talking about Egypt and Israel and Pharaoh and the demise of them, and leading us all the way to Zechariah and then into the Advent season, and all the messages all lining up steadily. God reminding us, listen, I have you on my mind. And I'm going to take you out of whatever mess you are in. This judgment is not for you. It is for the world. And the world is going to experience their judgment. But I've always reminded us, as God has given us the word, that the judgment is not for us. Amen? You're not going to be part of it. You're going to ride. Hallelujah. While every other, all those that do not want God are drowning, you'll be floating in the ark of God. Amen. And when the waters of judgment have abated, you'll be walking on dry land. And the first sign is that God, by the Spirit of God, brings that leaf of the olive plant to remind you, you're still here, and nothing can destroy you. Amen? He says, and in the second month, on 7 days, 12th day of the month, was the earth dried. Again, somebody say, process. Yeah. It's a process. It's progressive. God starts something, and he continues to work on it. And things start changing. Because God's mind for you and I is to enact change, positive change. Receive it. Amen? Because everything has not changed all at once does not mean that it's not going to all change. It will. He says, and God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons, and thy sons' wives with thee. Someone says, family, household, salvation. When, you see, it's so easy to give up on family or friends and think, they're not listening. They will not, never get it. This one is just a mess up. No. The promise of the Lord is that he will save us and our household. There is household salvation. Amen? There's household salvation. Someone say, me and my house are saved. Say it again. Me and my house are saved. Third time. Me and my house are saved. We are saved. Amen? And no matter what's happening, I'm saved. We are saved. Praise the Lord. He says, bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. That's the command of God. It says, bring them out and let them breed, and let them fill the earth, multiply on the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife, and with him every beast, every creeping thing, whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah did what? Built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. What percentage of what he took in did he sacrifice? Come on. Huh? And Noah did what? Verse 19. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So what percentage? How many did he take in each? Two. 50%. 50%. Did you see that? He offered unto God 50%. But actually, are you ready for this? You sure? It was not really 50%. It was 33.3. Because when he was going inside that ark, he already took the offering. When he went into that ark, God said, take two of each animal. But this man took a third of all of the clean animals ready to offer it. Because if he took just one, there would be no multiplication, right? Okay, so we're all on the same page now. Yeah, he took the offering with him into the ark, so that when he came out of the ark, he was ready. He was ready. We need to be ready with our offering unto the Lord. This is like the vow. If you get me out of this, this is what I'm going to offer. And it was ready. He says, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, 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 I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done, while the earth remaineth. Watch this. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Why did God make that statement? Go back for a moment, because remember what God did at the time of Adam. He cursed the ground for the sake of the man. He never cursed the man. He cursed the ground. And now what does he say? 21. The Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground. I will not again do what? Curse the ground. When the ground was cursed, man was going to reap thorns and thistles. The earth was not going to yield its strength to the man. But the man's offering, God now says in his heart, I'm not going to curse the ground for man's sake anymore. That's not going to happen. That stops. But from now on, this is what's going to happen. As long as the earth remains, there was always going to be seed time and harvest. God intervened because man made a commitment to follow through with him. Amen? Now, let's look at the statement of God remembering somebody in 1 Samuel. Just looking at that statement, remember me, so that we can connect with something. When I say, Lord, remember me, what am I saying? Well, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 19, concerning Hannah. Hannah was married to Elkanah and was the first wife of Elkanah, but she was barren. So Elkanah married a second wife called Penina. Now Penina was very fertile, and she was giving birth to children and now began to scorn and just afflict Hannah until Hannah made a decision. Hannah, recognizing that Eli had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who were rotten scoundrels, which meant that there was nobody that's going to take the place of Eli when Eli dies. Hannah comes to the temple, surveyed the situation, and she says to God, paraphrase, God, you need a prophet. I need a child. Let's make a deal. You give me a child, you get a prophet. She was offering to God what she needed. Are you with me? And so the Bible tells us that God honored her prayer. And so in verse 19, the Bible says, it says, they arose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord did what? Remembered her. Remembered who? The one who had negotiated with him and said, if you want a prophet, give me a child, and I'll give you that child back. He belongs to you. God remembered her, and she had her son. Praise God. So when God remembers you, your barrenness ceases. But I want you to see a common factor between the remembrance of Noah and the remembrance of Hannah. There was the preparation of an offering, an offer unto God. God remembered. Let's look at one more. In Genesis chapter 30 and verse 22. Genesis 30 and verse 22. The Bible says, "And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb." God remembered Rachel, hearkened to her, and opened her womb. If the womb was opened, it was also true that the womb was shut. The Bible says about Hannah, God shut her womb. That's why she was not able to have any babies. But when God remembered her, God opened her womb. Now, therefore, we can imply that when God remembers us, he opens our womb. He opens our capacity and our ability to not only carry child, but birth. Amen? Someone say, "Lord, remember me. I want to give birth. Eradicate barrenness from my life. In 2024, I will be fruitful and I will multiply. I will increase because your word has set me free." Amen. Praise the Lord. The word remembrance has to do with restoration. It has to do with recalling. It has to do with being reminded. But it also has to do with restore. To restore something. You know, when God created the world, he said to Adam and Eve, "Replenish it. Replenish it." Meaning there was something here that had been destroyed. I want you to plenish it again. Have everything put back. Praise God. Amen? So, in a sense, really, when the scientists talk about the world being millions of years, there is an element of truth to that, because Genesis 1 is not the beginning of the creation, because if it was the beginning of the creation, where was all the water from? There was something here that was destroyed. God never creates imperfections. Amen? So stop all the argument. I'm not somebody that believes in their foolish evolution theories. Actually, it's been debunked so many times. But we have a crazy media, and the scientists cabal that will not let people come to the knowledge of the truth, and are ready to counsel you if you go against whatever. Just think for a moment how complex your eyeball is, and how do you think that the eyeball that you've got came about by evolution? There are too many things. Your hearing, how did that happen? Do you know statistically how impossible it is for anything about you to be the way it is? So the foolishness of evolution is exactly that. God created, and he created everything perfect. And God, who created everything, came. And when the world was all damaged, and possibly because of the fall of Satan, things went out of course. Things got damaged. The Spirit of God came and brooded upon the waters, and God began the process of recreating or restoring. Because he called light out of darkness. Amen? Is that what the Word of God says? He called the land out of the water. He called the birds out of the water. He just called them. So everything that was hidden under the water came out. May God speak over your life, over my life, over this church, and everything that has been hidden, that has been kept under, may it come back up in the name of Jesus Christ. Restoration. Someone say restoration. Restoration. Amen. Restoration, because God remembers and puts back together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah chapter 30, and verse 17, God talks about healing, restoration of health. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 17 says, "For I will restore health unto thee." That means when God says, "I'm going to restore health to you," it means that you're sickly. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're sick this very moment, but you're sickly. Every flu that comes by, you catch it. Every disease that goes by finds you. God says, "I'm going to restore health to you so that you don't have to worry about whatever it is that is going on around you." Listen, I don't have full affirmation of this, but it is being said that the governing bodies of our time, our government, because of what happened with COVID and some people resisted taking COVID shots, universities have gone deeper to find a way to vaccinate people by just aerosol method, so that you just breathe in your vaccination and they don't have to take permission from you. I don't think that is far-fetched. Are you with me? But whatever it is that is in the air, in the water, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us a promise, even if we eat deadly things or drink deadly things, it will not hurt us. Anything that will hurt you shall not attach itself to you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, for God says, "I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds." Whatever it is that has caused you pain, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to heal you in your mind. I'm going to heal you in your body. I'm going to heal you in every place where you hurt. He says, "Because they call thee an outcast." Saying, "This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Nobody comes your way. Nobody comes to your business. Nobody comes to your church. Nobody comes to visit you as a friend." He says, they said, "You're an outcast. Tell you what, I'm going to heal you of all of that. You're not going to need any of them. They're going to need you." Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. That is the promise of God. It says, "Thus said the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be built upon our own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them, out of my people that they called outcasts," he says, "out of them shall proceed thanksgiving." Hallelujah. "And the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them." Somebody shout hallelujah. "I will multiply them, and they shall not be few." Praise the Lord. When God remembers us, it's Operation Full House. Praise the Lord. When God remembers us, wherever you put your foot, you shall possess. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You shall not be few. He says, I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. That's when God remembers you. You're no longer small. You're no longer few. And God punishes those that oppress you. He says, and their nobles shall be of themselves. You're not going to go look for special VIPs from somewhere else. The VIPs are going to be right there with you. I'm going to raise them up, important dignitaries, right from your midst. And their governor shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near. I'll cause him to draw near. Remember what we talked about yesterday, about this year is the year of worship, the year of the priest. God is going to cause us to draw near. And he shall approach unto me, for who is this that engageth his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? Who is this that set his mind, I want to know God. I want to be part of the family of God. He says, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Amen? That is remembrance. Praise the Lord. Someone say, Lord, remember me. In Isaiah chapter 61, Isaiah chapter 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the acceptable year of the Lord being the year and the time of Jubilee. Amen? And the day, not only the acceptable year of the Lord, which is Jubilee, but also the day of vengeance of our God. Those two things go. Some people are getting free and others are getting judgment. To comfort all that mourn. It's amazing to me. One of the things the Lord spoke to me about the last 2 months, and I was sharing that yesterday, was about death and mourning. Mourning all around. No one in particular in this house died, but so many had somebody close to them pass away. Even Mama's sister, one of the sisters, passed away, just buried 2 days ago. Different ones were touched. And God says, I'm going to comfort those that mourn. I found it interesting that God was talking to me about that. But basically what he was saying is this. The anointing, you are going to see the manifestation of the anointing at a time when there's mourning. And in a sense, we have in this body experienced some of that. And God is speaking over us and saying, my anointing, the anointing that breaks and destroys the yoke, is available at this very moment. Take it, take it, take it, take it. I know I'm speaking very quietly this evening, but just take it. Take the anointing. It's available. When there is mourning, it's available there. It says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of what? Heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. You mean, God, you're going to be glorified in the time when there's so much pain around? And God says, yes, yes, I want to show you that even in your pain, my joy cannot be drowned off from your life. You are going to experience extraordinary victory at a time when pain similarly is around you. Because God remembers. Hallelujah. He says, and they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. That's restoration. And they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Something the Lord told us yesterday was that he was going to restore, just like he did for Mephibosheth, that which belonged to his lineage. Going back, God is restoring to us. I'm not just expecting what I've worked for, prayed for, believed God for. I'm expecting to tap into generations so that things are happening in my life, things are happening in your life, and all we can say is, this is the doing of the Lord. This is the doing. I didn't do anything. I didn't pray for this. I didn't ask for it. And I have it. It's because God, in the mighty name of Jesus, speedify. Amen? Speedify. I thank God for that word. Speedify. It means so much to me. Speedify. And strangely enough, that word is spreading. It's spreading all over. People are beginning to say speedify. You know, there's so many people that listen to us, that are listening right now, and they get in the language of the Lord. God is a God who is going to cause you and I to see the desolations of generations corrected. Amen. Hallelujah. When Israel left Egypt, the Bible says, hallelujah, the Bible says in Psalm 105 and verse 37 that there was not one weak nor feeble in their midst. Not one. Whoever it was that was sick got healed. If they were old, their youth was renewed. Because if you are 100 and you, how are you going to go on that journey? God healed you. You straightened up. All the arthritis took off. Hallelujah. Amen. See the 120 guy. I can do it. Glory be to God. That's what God is going to do. There's going to be a reversal. Oh, yeah, I hear that. There's going to be a reversal. Things have been aging so quickly in your life. You are going to see a reversal. Do you believe this? He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. He brought them out wealthy, and he brought them out healthy. Praise the Lord. Declare with me, Father, I thank you that you brought me out of 2023 into 2024, healthy and wealthy. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I've not forgotten Isaiah 61. I'm going to go back there. But let's look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103, the word of God says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his what? Benefits. These are benefits that are loaded on us daily. And 24 hours in the day, God is saying, daily benefits are coming upon you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I shall not go past any day without receiving the full impartation of the benefits that God had for me for that day. Amen? Praise God. You cross over to every other day loaded. Amen. It says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with what? With good things. And the result of that is so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. How is your youth renewed like the eagles? How is it renewed? Your mouth being satisfied with good things. In your mouth is the power. Proverbs 18 tells us, for life and death. And they that love it shall be satisfied with it. With your mouth. This is how God is going to reverse. Don't look at the mirror and say, oh, I'm getting old. If that's what you're saying, you're getting old. Do you remember Caleb? You remember him? Caleb was never called old by God. Joshua, God said, Joshua, you're old. If God says you're old, oh man. You're old. What? But when you meditate on the word of God, someone tells us that your leaves don't fall off, that you are fruitful in every season. In your season, you will experience the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Embrace the word of God, the promises of God. God wants your youth renewed. Speak youthfulness. Amen? Hallelujah. It also says that with this mouth, what you say, that's how you're going to get a good wife. Yeah. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, satisfies your mouth with good things, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go back to Isaiah 61. I better move quickly. I'm running behind. Isaiah 61, verse 3. Actually, we've done verse 3. Let's go to verse 5. He says, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Remember the 35 of Ziba? His 15 sons and 20 servants that were taking care. And I said, God is calling us to rest. Amen? Praise the Lord. And I'm going to focus on rest on another day. Today I'm just talking about remembering. God says, strangers shall stand. Remember, Ziba was a station, the statue. He says, strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen. and your vine dressers, but ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you ministers of our God. Isn't that amazing? We had two yesterday that God said to pour oil on, one as a deacon and one a minister. Do you see that there? Priests and ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. The riches of the Gentiles. And in their glory shall you boast yourselves. What is that? It is the boast. What does the Gentile boast of? His money, property, wealth. He says, you're going to be the one boasting. Amen? Because there's a wealth transfer. God has wealth transfer on his mind. Praise God. Praise thee, God. I say, praise thee, God. Amen. He says, for your shame, all the disappointments you've gone through, all the scorning and the mockery that you've experienced, he says, for your shame, you shall have double. And for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. In essence, God is saying, for all of your trouble, I'm going to give you double. Amen? Praise God. That's overflow. Amen? Mephibosheth sits at the king's table. And he has all this other stuff that is all his that he didn't have to deal with. He could give it all away. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Now, the key, actually, let's do Zechariah 9 and verse 12 first. And I have to really move now. Zechariah 9 and 12. He says, turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. You've been hoping for the longest time. When is this going to happen? When is that going to happen? He says, even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. You've been hoping and you've been waiting. I'm going to give you double. Amen? Somebody say, I receive the double. I have stayed steadfast. Hoping. Now, it is my turn. It is my turn. It is my turn to receive the manifested blessings of God. And I receive the double. Amen. Praise God. In Psalm 51 and verse 12, God talks about the restoration of joy. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. The result of it, when my joy is restored, he says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Because they see the joy of God in me. And I'm so joyful, I am bubbling all over and I am touching lives. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, why is that important? He says, deliver me from blood guiltiness. O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. What is this blood guiltiness? This blood guiltiness is restated over and over again in the book of Ezekiel. When we know the truth and what will save people, and we do not tell them, the Bible says, they will die in their sins, but I'll require their blood from you. You and I have been mandated to preach the gospel. If you don't want to have blood guiltiness, preach. Tell somebody. Express the joy of the Lord through your life. Amen? Somebody needs to hear the good news that God loves them and God wants them saved. He says, "O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." Open thou my lips. This is a cry of a man who's saying, if I'm not doing it right, help me. I need help. I need help. Open, give me the boldness to proclaim it. He says, "Because thou desired not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem." It's not just about giving an offering. What is more important to God is putting his body together, remembering his body. You are his body. You are his body. You are his body. You are his body. Everyone here is his body. Amen? But there are parts of his body that are still out there that need to be put together. I'm reminded of something I read a few years ago. A dad was busy doing his work, and the daughter kept on coming and bugging him and bugging him and bugging him. "I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that." So he finally figured out that what he needs to do is to give her an assignment that is so complex that she will not be able to fix it. So he gave her a map. It was ripped up in different pieces. So go put it together. When you put that and put everything together, then come back. So the kid goes, comes back in a few minutes. Says, "How did you do that?" He said, "When I put Jesus together, I put the world back together. Because on the flip side of that paper was a picture of Jesus. So when she put Jesus together, the world came back together." I thought that was remarkable. That's what it's going to take. The world comes together as we, the representatives of Jesus, come together. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, in Isaiah 42, Isaiah 42 and verse 22, Isaiah 42 and verse 22, we read these words. Bible says, "But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey and none delivered, for a spoil and none say it," what? Restore. This is part of what we need to say. Because remembrance is also about restoration. And God is saying to us, if you want to see lives changed, if you want to see people removed from the place of imprisonment, you've got to speak restoration. David said of Mephibosheth, Is there not a son of Saul that I may show that one hesed, loving kindness, for Jonathan's sake? And they found Mephibosheth. And why is he wanting to do that? He wanted to restore. He wanted to restore. We've got to seek restoration for everyone. Every day when you pray for me, you pray for mama, and you pray for yourself, and you pray for your family, and you pray for church members, pray God, restore unto your people that which they have lost, that which belongs to them and their generations. Restore. Let us be a people that come together and we just celebrate your goodness, everyone with a testimony of something amazing that God, you have done. When I go to church this Sunday, when I go to church this Friday, when I go to church this Wednesday, whenever, let there be a testimony that causes me to shout hallelujah. Amen? Because somebody has received restoration. And finally, remembrance is about reordering. When you restore, you're reordering something. Amen? Now, I want you to think about that word, to reorder. It is to order again, to put in the proper perspective, proper place, to put back something that had been spent or lost or used up. Put it back so that there is no lack. The Word of God says when we honor Him with our giving, He says, so that there is meat in my house. Amen? Hallelujah. God intends for us to experience His goodness that way. So let us wrap up with this. Psalm 37, verse 23 to 24. God talking about a good man. Psalm 37, verse 23 to 24. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighted in His way. The steps of a good man. When God remembers you, your steps are ordered. Praise the Lord. He says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. In other words, you're not going to smash your face. While you're falling, God just holds you up. Amen? Hallelujah. He says, I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He's ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. This is God ordering our steps and telling us what we need to do. Amen? Hallelujah. Psalm 119, in verse 133. Psalm 119. Verse 133. Order my steps. How? In thy word. That's how God orders your steps, in his word. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Iniquity must not have dominion over me. Why? My steps are ordered in the word of God. Deliver me from the oppression of man. So will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon me, upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Finances, rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. Do you hear that? His steps have been ordered, and when he looks at those that are sinners, he says, rivers of water, I weep because of those that are not keeping your word. Do we have a heart for God and for God's people? Folks, that's what it's going to take. We have a heart for the people of God that are not in the house, that we go looking for them, seeking them out, speaking to them, doing whatever it is that we need to do, because we don't want them to fall under the judgment of God. Proverbs 19 and 21. Proverbs 19 and 21. And while you're getting me, Proverbs 19 and 21, keep Jeremiah 21:11 in place. I come to this particular passage of Scripture because I want us to be reminded of this, that as we have stepped into 2024, we should not look at our own private agendas, but rather trust God to direct us. Ask, and you're going to receive. It says there are many devices in a man's heart, all kinds of ideas. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. It's the counsel of the Lord that's going to stand, not your amazing, wonderful ideas. So instead of wasting time coming up with your ideas, why don't you just go to God and say, God, what is the assignment for today? The word of God says he gives to us our daily bread. Yes? And I've taught you through the years that our daily bread is not hamburgers from McDonald's or KFC chicken. Our daily bread is our daily assignment. Jesus said, my bread is to do the will of my Father and to finish it. He said, that's my bread. Remember that? So the daily bread is the daily assignment. God, what do you have for me to do today? When you go to sleep, say, Father, I am resting before you. When I wake up in the morning, I thank you for the assignment that you have for me in the new day. And Lord, grant me the grace and the strength. Download into my spirit the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding that I need to function at the utmost capacity so that lives are forever changed for your glory. And God will do for you. You don't need to pray a long prayer. But there's somebody that he wants you to meet the next day. And he will direct your path. He will connect you with that person. And he will tell you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, he says, the desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Isn't the word of God remarkable? when we connect with this council, we will not be visited with evil. Praise God. Finally, Jeremiah 29:11. Word of God says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. There is an expected end, and I want to give that to you. I want to bring you there. I have these thoughts concerning you. Am I going to get connected to these thoughts? By seeking his heart. Remember me has a lot of other tentacles. That's all I'm trying to say tonight. Tomorrow night, it's going to be a very special time as our focus is going to be on Israel. And I'm going to bring a word to us about our covenant connection to Abraham, the blessing of Abraham. I never pronounce or say what I'm going to be preaching about. This must be maybe one of the first times that I've told you what I'm going to be preaching about. And I'm telling you about it so that you can pray that you receive the full impact of that message, so that the full benefits that God has ordained for us to receive connects to us and abides with us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, at this time, we'll honor God with our giving. I want to remind you also at this time that our praise and worship team has completed one of the 6 songs on their CD and will be released on all music platforms next Sunday, the 7th at 12 p.m. Amen? And we do need your support. We need you to give to support the release of the CD, the full completion. There's lots of funds needed. And so let's do that. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Rise with me. Did I give my offering yet? Okay. Say with me, Father, remember me. See me. And do something new in my life. Eradicate, exterminate, annihilate anything and everything that does not belong in my life, does not belong in my family, does not belong in this our church, does not belong to the body of Christ. Eradicate it, extricate it, remove it, and Lord, restore unto me all of your goodness, all of your peace, all of your joy, all resources necessary to fulfill your divine mandate for my life. Lord, I cry out to you, help me, help me, help me. Live life to the full, the kind of life that glorifies you, that honors you, that causes men to glorify you. Father, have your way in my life. I surrender my life to you. Bless me and make me a blessing. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, bless you. Enjoy your evening. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow night. And then on Wednesday, we are going to have a very anointed man of God also with us. Thursday, I'll be ministering the word of God again to us. And then on Friday, we're going to have another guest speaker bring the word of God to us. Saturday, another day. And on Sunday, it's going to just be a team releasing the blessings of God on each life. Don't miss it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. There's some people on Zoom tonight.